Thank you, Jim. Thanks for singing an Avery and Marsh song on Pentecost Sunday. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Today, we're entering into a sermon about filled with new wine. Filled with new wine. And it just reminds me of so many things. But you and I have got to discover the taste of new wine. That is a continuous effort in our lives. We've got to discover and rediscover the taste of new wine. Last year's Pentecost celebration, and we had lots of children here, and I had on my clown robe and preached from being the perspective of being a clown. Oh, it was fun. It was a taste of new wine. Often when I've had the privilege of leading Pentecost services and activities, we would have a great parade outside, and I remember the year we had 400 balloons in MacArthur and in Chicago. And we would release them back before the environmentalists said we can't do that. Then we just released a few. But it was a great experience of a taste of new wine, being filled with it. As Jim sang, I am the church, the Avery and Marsh song. In preparation for this sermon, I've been singing another one. I want to join the great parade. I want to join the happy caravan of God's people, God's own people, marching around the world. There are people of times and places. People of all nations and races, a singing, swinging procession. And here am I, here am I. Sorry, I'm not out down there leading dancing today. We've talked about dancing in our prayers and our confessions. And when's the last time we danced in church? Had a family funeral this week in Kentucky. My 101-year-old uncle died. Still part of the Church of God. And I remember the church dancing. My Uncle Bert, the preacher, he danced, jumped over the pews. It was a great parade for them. But in the church I was raised in, we would have never have done that. We would sing our hearts out, and we might bring a little group of children down here to do a formal dance of some kind, but we would never allow ourselves to get so excited and to be part of such a great parade. Today, as we look at what it means to be filled with the new wine, we turn back to the book, Keith Miller book. I think we're going to put him on the screen, are we? There he is with his book, The Taste of New Wine, written in about 65, and he died at 84 in 2012, but the book is still popular. It's still very popular in the market to buy one. And here's one of Miller's quotes. I grew up and I became very successful at what I did as a young man. I became a work addict because this was the only way I could get any relief from that pain. Today I want to turn us to the passage from Acts that describes the Pentecost experience. speaking in many different languages, as we read and proclaimed, with the tongue of fire resting upon them, the great crowd heard them in each of their native language. They declared, "And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" Many were amazed and perplexed, declaring, "What does it mean?" But yes, there is a but to this in the conversation. Others sneered and they said, "They are filled with new wine." And that was not a compliment. I want to give you that translation in other chapters. It even sound worse. King James Version, not too bad. Others mocking them said, "These men are full of new wine." Living Bible, "They're drunk, that's all." The New International Version, our Pew Bible, some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Today's English Version, which we used to use, especially with our children, others made fun of the believers, saying, "They are drunk. They've been drinking." You and I have got to discover the taste of new wine. Is not this a perfect example for the church? Some are laden with joy and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Oh my goodness. And they are excited and they're uniting together. They're tasting the new wine. They're living in joy and peace and hope. Keith Miller said, "I wrote a book called The Taste of New Wine because I couldn't find a book that talked about the reality of the situation and how we were dishonest and afraid." After the time passed for Miller, he noted, "Pain is the doorway and the wisdom to the truth. New wine, not one of drunkenness and overdrinking. It is a new strength. A new way to get back to God, a new value, a new way of life in the faith community. It takes one into the people who believe us, and they've gone astray. Sometimes for us to discover God." Miller once said, "The whole Bible is the story of men and women trying to get back, to overcome that sin and the sacrifices, good works, sermons, prophecy, witnessing, giving all kinds of things, but it never worked." Did you ever think of that? That's what the Bible's about. A whole bunch of people trying to relate to God, but it never worked. I can sure think of many examples in there. Jacob being for sure one of them. Even though we sing many wonderful songs about Jacob, have very wonderful memories about him. But often we forget about his sin. But that is forgotten because he found God in a new way. Wow, a layman, Keith Miller, a businessman, a member and participant in Alcoholics Anonymous, a divorcee with two children who remarried, and then he remarried, discovered a taste of new wine. He joined the great parade, the happy caravan of God's people. Yet he brought insight to the people of God, and divided the church. Here's a couple more quotes from Keith Miller. And by the way, I expect that Keith Miller was brought into this pulpit many times for many years by previous pastors here. Here's what he says. "Then one day I read a book that said the church is the only army that shoots its wounded." Another quote, "We religious controllers control in the name of Jesus, and it is really painful to people. As a church, we seem to have forgotten," says Miller, "the point of our message, like people who have a great joke to tell and who have forgotten the punchline. And I didn't bring a joke to tell today, folks. But I got this to say. You and I have got to discover the taste of new wine. On this birthday of the church, we note that the church was born amidst division and confusion. While many were declaring those who received the Holy Spirit as drunk, what did Peter say? He raised his voice and addressed the men and women, all who live in Jerusalem, let us be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is from the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon the flesh. Peter turns to the old, but identifies the new. Young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. Visions and dreams, yes, they can be frightening, but not with God's pouring out of the Spirit. They are part of experiencing, witnessing, and tasting new wine. Not easy, but what is needed for God to be a God of love. Let's turn back and explore some pain or some people of faith. Yes, there was pain. Who dared to taste and be filled with new wine? I mean, way back. Do you remember Copernicus or Giordano Bruno? That one's harder to remember. And you remember Galilee. In 1513, Copernicus wrote down his discovery that the earth is round. Wow. It was never put out until the day he died. It was 100 years later that Galileo got on board. This man who was a physicist, a mathematician, an engineer, an astronomer. Yes, they had all those back in those days. A philosopher who played a major role in scientific revolution. His achievements included improvements to the telescope and consequent astronomical observations, and he supported Copernicanism. Galileo has been called the father of modern observation, astronomy, the father of modern physics, the father of science, and the father of modern science. But what did the church do to Galileo? They persecuted him. This great thinker was imprisoned, threatened with torture, and forced to recant his beliefs because they disagreed with the Christian superstitions, especially when he said, the earth is round and all the planets and all the stars or the planets go around the earth. Go around the sun. They don't go around the earth. That was the belief. Everything went around the earth. God made it, and God made us, and that made us special, so everything goes around us. And he said, science doesn't say that, and he paid a big price. And after him, Giordano Bruno, who we don't know as well, philosopher and a dreamer, he was burned at the stake by Rome in 1600 for daring to suggest that the earth goes around the sun. You see, we have a history of division, and it wasn't just the Roman Catholic Church who did that. We Protestants joined in as well. There were other great newnesses in this church. Speaking of Protestants, one of those was Martin Luther, who declared, a Catholic priest, you cannot buy or earn your way and right to heaven. Everybody thought, you work hard enough, you give enough money to the church, you got your way to heaven. And Luther, my goodness, how brave was he to declare that no, salvation is the way you get to heaven or have life eternal. Salvation. Wow. And of course, we all know about that was the turn of the great Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. And by the way, those who identify with these and are and all of Luther's Wider's teachings are called Lutherans, and you know I've served two Lutheran churches. But Luther himself insisted the name should be Christian as the only acceptable name for individuals who professed Christ. We're justified by faith, Romans 5, 1. Yes, we need to find out ways to be part of the newness, not to be part of those which punish it and cause conflict around it. Grace Church, you have a history of newness like all churches. And for my children's moment, I would have put on this helmet. And we would have started saying it's archaeological Sunday on the church's birthday, and let's dig back. I've already dug back to some things. And I would have explained to the children that, yes, archaeologists, you know, they dug up places where people in the Bible might have been born, old housing in cities, and I might have told the story about us seeing the town that Mary, they think Mary was born in, where she, and that was been dug up. And on and on. But then I would say, what if we wanted to dig up, and we're way up here digging back into the future or back into the past of Grace Church. And there was newness, yes, in, was it 68? But in the 60s, the church decided to build a new building, move out in this area where development of housing and neighborhoods was going on. It was a new pastor came eventually. It was a taste of new wine for the church. That time, I understand, we had a peace group in the church. And it probably was also an environmental group. That group dissipated. We had an intentional effort to be open and affirming, especially welcoming gay people and their families. And it kind of faded amidst the controversy. We were slow at opening the church and worship to the new media, to the internet, which is happening now under Jim's leadership, and the Wi-Fi and the Twitter and the Facebook and all the things that we have to look at and find out where people are. So we can dig back and find great things. I had some pictures out here for the children. I have a picture of the old building, where we used to be downtown. I have a picture of a confirmation class, I think of 1986. So we can dig back. But in that digging back, we have to be willing to explore. Where are we going in newness? And where is the conflict, just as it happened on Pentecost? So today I want to share with you, basically it's my report to the last council meeting, and saying that, was the new pastor coming? We need to have new ways to utilize our core values. I'm not getting into them today, but we had a great, wonderful meeting last fall when so many of you participated and we established our core values, and we've got to make sure they're used, not just put it on a file, back on a shelf, but we've got to live our core values. Of course, love is one of them, and Jim's putting them online. But we've got to look at the book that we had our search committee read, and some of you have read, Moving Off the Map. That needs to go to the new pastor. We need to be ready to taste new wine. I put number two down here, that we need to have new ways discovered and approved on how we use our endowment board. Is the endowment money of this church and the money of the church being used for a new way, a taste of new wine? Or is it still back there with the old wine? We have to ask and find the balance. How to do that. Number three, new ways for Grace Church to continue in expansion and use of the screen. And I still think we can get one of those screens that have a hinge on it and that will fold up and close. I've seen them in many churches. I know you like the wall. It's a good wall. But we need to think about that. Oh, yeah, number four. Yeah, I love church hymns. Yes, we've had many discussions about whether we should have changed so many hymns, the traditional hymns in this hymnal. I love classical music and Beethoven's Fifth, ba 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 ba. You all probably know that. But what music is going to reach those who are not in church and that we're called to go reach and find a new way? It needs to happen. Number five, new ways of relating and reaching out to our neighbors. We've had Love Your Neighbor campaign. We've still got a long way to go. We found websites that have a listing of every neighbor, 150 homes around us, including those who live in the house. Who would have thought that would be online, but it's there. When we had the idea last fall that, I don't know how it came up, but we need to start a coffee house, coffee shop, whatever you call it. Someone wrote a proposal and gave it to us. It's the idea of turning to new ways that we need to live in. We need to target particular groups of people, our neighbors, in this community for sure. Gay individuals or families, because I don't know other churches that directly do that. And of course, the elderly needs to be targeted in our community. Many elderly people are unchurched. And of course, young children. We need to be about starting whatever it would be. Yes, we had a daycare and it's gone. We can spend time debating that back and forth, but let's talk about how to move forward. Should we start an after school program for children or whatever it should be? Or, as I've said before, should we have a skateboard contest down in our valley? That beautiful land that we spend a lot of time getting cut and keeping pretty and a lot of work on it, but is it being used practically? We need to have ways of celebrating new ventures. You and I have got to discover the taste of new wine. May the Spirit of God be the center of the new wine filling. There is the opportunity for a great parade in our lives and in our church. A new caravan of God's people, God's own people, marching around the world. Right here in Fairfield County. Let me say, as we conclude this sermon, it begins the way of tasting the new wine, discovering it, begins in prayer. As Keith Miller shared before he died, created a brochure I found online. And you have that brochure this morning. It's called A Spiritual Adventure. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion, prayer, and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to lay aside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. That one's we know. So he has a list of prayers. The first page is the first prayer. A prayer of commitment. And he said, this is the way he made it through and tasted the new wine. And then he has 7 minutes with God that includes looking at the Gospel of John as we did today, and our adoration and our confession. Not just one that the pastor or the hymn prepares and you read, but one that you get inside yourself and truly say to God the things, the pain that bothers you inside. And then there's supplication, then for yourself, a prayer. And then he uses the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Of course, he learned that at AA. Then there's the prayer of Saint Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. And where there's hatred, let me sow love. We know it. And of course, you all know the next one, the 23rd Psalm. But a process for you to use individually and then us to use it collectively. That is what it's going to take to help us be willing to discover the taste of new wine that joins us together in the love of God. Amen.